and you said go, and we are go, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Monday, March 13th, 2023. And we're going to be standing by for Jumbledygook and his terrorist regime that is perpetrating economic warfare, leading the charge. Listen, this guy is so far out of control. Not this guy. This Joe Biden slash Barack Obama, the third power, this regime, these communists, these Marxists, okay, that are literally overthrowing the global financial system to their benefit. And goodmorningfrankspeech.com. Goodmorningfrankspeech.com. All right. Here's where we're going this morning. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be looking for Gobbledygook, whatever his name is, Biden. I'm going to go over to Studio B. Deb Jordan will say hello in just a little bit. We got some things to take care of. But we are going to broadcast an important message. A friend, I consider him to be, he's a friend of mine. I've been friends with him for the past couple of years. I know him personally. He's a great, like, economist, advisor, and he's done an awesome job in independent media. And he was the one guy, because of the conversations we've had over the past couple of weeks, he's the one to really help translate and help us understand what's going on. His name is Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's a friend of mine. I want you to listen to him. I begged him to come on. He came on a Sunday. Deb Jordan, can you imagine that? Huh? Yeah, a Sunday. Well, if you were out buying my rapini, which is a good thing, right?
What you're going to have today.
That's a super high priority. A rapini and what? What are we doing? Rigatoni?
Rigatoni.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I want to shut the show down. Let's go
get
some olive oil and fresh garlic. Did you get fresh garlic?
Yeah, I have fresh garlic. Yes.
Okay, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. We got priority. We got to set our priorities straight. Make sure you got enough rapini and rigatoni and a pack of smokes. Huh?
Heart attack.
Yeah. What?
A heart attack on a plate. Huh?
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? Seriously, if we're, just like I said yesterday, if we're going to die, I want to have a moon pie in my hand. Okay?
Well, we have this place called Jungle Gym, right?
We need to get into the show. I don't want to go into it.
I know, but I got to tell everybody.
I know you do, but we're at the 5-minute mark now.
And they have everything. They just have everything. They have rapini, and I had to go there yesterday and get him some. And then my thing there is they have this fresh coconut cream pie that they make that's made from scratch.
Set that aside. You ready?
I know, but it's just incredible.
Did I finish my banana cream cheesecake?
Yeah.
It's the best thing.
It was banana pudding cheesecake.
Oh. It's like one level below procreation. Okay?
Oh, man.
You know how good procreation feels, folks? One level below that. I literally felt it right in my loins. Yeah. I mean,
they're small pieces.
What is that stuff called? Banana pudding cream cheesecake, whatever.
It's banana pudding cheesecake.
Oh, I'm thinking about just staying fat. I'm seriously considering.
Oh, man, I love that.
Listen, their coconut cream pie is amazing. We have this morning an intense show. We're going to go to Dr. Kirk Elliott. Okay? We're going to go to that right now. We're going to play that as soon as Dum Dum comes on. We're going to cut to that. I'm going to translate what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, our top news headline is officially, I mean, this is full blown. Hey, listen, and don't listen to everybody else about a peaceful way out of this thing. Okay. There won't be, because they're going to start coming to kill you. Yeah. It's just going to be an incremental thing.
Can I ask you a question?
Let me finish my statement first.
Is the monitor supposed to be like this?
Hmm?
Is the monitor supposed to be like this?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, I need it too. So hold on.
Yeah.
I'll fix it. Now you're all set.
Okay.
There will not be a peaceful way out of this. Meaning, that they will eventually incrementally get to the point to where they're going to go. They're going to do their track trace and do a digital currency and socially profile. It's going to take time. But I'm going to tell you right now, everybody from this point forward, you buy as many guns, beans, bullets, food, storage, water, make sure you have enough money on hand, gold, and just everybody start prepping right now, up and down the NUB, force in readiness at every single household. Okay. Don't listen to other people. You go with your gut, and your gut should be telling you that this is a Marxist, communist overthrow on so many different levels. Do I need to go through the list? Do I need to replay Dr. Redman saying the gain of function testing that was going on? Do I need to dig into the most recent story that I'm digging into? Major expose is coming, where they've literally folded HCG, which is a hormone that stops reproduction. It's a sterilization hormone that's been incorporated into the tetanus shots. And guess what else, folks? The polio shots. And they're injecting childbearing women predominantly between the ages of 15 to 49. They're doing it in Kenya. They're doing it in the Philippines, Mexico. Listen, they're sterilizing. They're controlling the population. They're going to kill us. They're going to get us to war. This is so out of control. If you do not have the situational awareness to take what I'm saying and prepare your household, I need every household, please, prepared, okay? We don't need to be, I don't need to be gathering the troops around and say, all right, I've been telling you guys to buy beans and bullets. How many of you got bullets? And you're like, oh, I didn't think anything would happen.
To make it clear, the guns and bullets are to protect your own property.
Your own property.
From people who are going to come and try to
take
your stuff.
They're going to come and get your stuff.
Not necessarily the government. Absolutely.
They're going to come and kill you. Listen,
it could be your first cousin twice removed, right?
If they're doing it quietly without you actually doing anything, if they can get somebody in a nurse's outfit down at the hospital killing people with remdesivir, then you have zero situational awareness. This is where I have to say, folks, you need to start waking up. We're going to pursue every peaceful means and path from this point forward. You recognize everything that they say, A, is a big lie. Now, how can I prove this? This isn't a conspiracy theory that they're going to lie to you. Let's use an example. Did they lie to you through COVID? Did they say, everything's going to be fine. Everyone's got to get a vaccine. Everybody's got to do this. Everyone's got to inject themselves with remdesivir. Everybody. It was all a freaking lie. Do you think they're going to start telling the truth this morning about the financial crisis, quote unquote, that they created? That the people that run to the podium, starting with Joe Biden, is a perpetrator of economic warfare upon the American people. The first person, as soon as he opens his mouth and say, I'm for the government and I've saved you, he is the perpetrator. He is. This is what they do. They cause the scenario, and then he goes and he gets, oh, everyone's going to tune in to what I'm saying, and Wall Street's going to cheer him on. You said the government has done a bail. You know what? He created the disaster. What did I say they do? They create the disaster so they can run to the podium. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the middle step. The middle step is where you're horrified at the thought of all of your money being stolen.
And you react.
So we got the crisis that's manufactured. You will be horrified by it. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you're injecting yourself with fried calamari. You're so stupid.
Well, the desired effect is when you react that you come to the government, which everybody already is.
Oh, they just begged the government. Shit, I was in that mode. I'm like, biowarfare. Oh my goodness, the government needs to intervene.
Fix this. What are you going to fix this?
I was like 14 days to flatten the curve. I was all about it. We're in this together. I almost got a we're in this together tramp stamp.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Stop it. Become ungovernable. Everything they say automatically from this point forward, whatever they say, we do think and say the opposite. no matter what it is, every person that jumps to the microphone is the perpetrator, should be freaking, they need to take the regime, okay, and do the virtual equivalent of sticking it on its face, okay? Listen to me. We now have people in Congress, okay, that are saying, we have documents that Joe Biden took money from communist China. Really? Okay. Well, thank you for that Fox News clip. I really appreciate that. You might as well go do Benghazi tapes too, right? Let's just replay those. If you're going to feed me with your Fox News clip of Joe Biden and Breitbart's Robo, this is breaking news, breaking, breaking. Now let's cut to a Big Pharma ad. It's all you get is a Big Pharma ad to get you in a state that you're so pissed off, blue-haired, old, can't run a freaking iPad, you're still stuck on Fox News. That's what they want you doing.
Well, and make no mistake, the Pfizer, these Big Pharma may be centrally located here in the United States, but they go to China to make their drugs.
They do. Ladies and gentlemen, it was announced, and I have the clip, and we'll play it later, that they now have documentation with whistleblowers that are coming forward that show documentation that Joe Biden and his family took money from communist China, from the CCP. All right? And that's the guy that's going to go to the podium and say, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I solved the problem. We're going to go with the renminbi.
And then enter Elon Musk to say China's great.
China's great. And he built a Tesla factory that I literally, you know what? I could not fall asleep last night because I was on a live stream listening to Elon Musk gush. I mean, he might as well have been saying, okay.
Well, and then I had to remind you, hey, look, listen, Donald Trump said that China was great and Xi Jinping was his friend. Right. Yeah. So, and they got along fantastically and he was a great leader. So, you know.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
I'm with General Flynn on the following. You ready? Here is my moat. I want right now force in readiness. And I mean force. And I'm saying it right up front. Every household, if you don't have, you know what? I want you to go to Walmart and buy all the freaking 12 gauge sluggers. It's got a big freaking chunk of lead. Just to freaking make toothpicks somewhere. Just have them on hand and say, Pete Santilli told me to have these on hand and they make really good toothpicks. I'm telling you right now, you fire that slug of lead even through a freaking wall. Okay? Toothpicks, just boosh, right?
Mm.
Not at anybody, just to make toothpicks. There you go.
Well, I mean, listen, if people get desperate, that's the thing. If people get desperate, people that you would never think will become animal-like, they will. Survival will mean everything.
It will. When things break down, which they have already planned. Do I need to go into my Rex 84 documentation? Where decades ago, when they founded FEMA, it was because of this scenario. 72 hours, banking system unravels, supply chain seizes, absolute civil unrest. They've been planning for it for decades. They just won't tell you about it. But guess what? They already have you profiled. Oh, Pete Santilli, you're going to get a yellow wristband. Go to this. Cut. They already have you profiled. They already know when you walk up to go get on a rail car to go somewhere, you're going to go to a very special re-education camp. They have colored wristbands. You think I'm joking?
No, I don't think you're joking. Listen.
Oh, wait. I have literally constantly, like the government in lines, right? Where I got government agents that, you know, there's literally a rapist, a murderer, right? El Chapo, everybody. Oh, and Mr. Santilli, you need to come this way. And they put me in a freaking Hannibal Lecter freaking restraint on what do they call it? Con Air. Swear to you, they plucked me out of a line from a bunch of criminals and put me on a freaking Hannibal Lecter lockdown because, you know, they said for my safety. No, they didn't. It was to put me in a communications management hold, okay? Because they know I got a big mouth. They know I talk to all the criminals and tell them how to get out of their cases because they were set up by the FBI, how to listen to all their audio recordings. Ladies and gentlemen, my focus right now is to get every single member of our United States Army ready to go. It's already been in place. Our founding fathers put it in place. You need to worry about your residents. You need to worry about your wife. You need to worry about your daughters, your sons, your beans, your pantry, your household, your property. If everybody does that.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yes.
That's what I want. I want to drill down to the residence level. Everyone needs to know this is not going to end peacefully. It has never been designed. A Marxist overthrow is never intended to end peacefully. In fact, guess what it needs for it to succeed is the violence.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to provoke it.
Yes.
I'm not going to provoke it. They will provoke it. The majority of the people around you, unfortunately, are so dumbed down and stupefied. I'm still hearing from people that now, there's this latest trend. Oh, family members are bringing their other family members to the Pete Santilli show. And then they're tuning in, they're listening to Pete Santilli, and they're saying, that ain't going to happen. That won't happen. That's a conspiracy theory.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Well, guess what? This show is not for the dumb, okay? Step aside. This show is for the man of the family, okay? If you're the man of the family, step up. And if you're not, the women will shove their My Pillow slippers up your keister if you use promo code Pete.
Right. Okay? Make sure you
Or they're going to hit you Pete. Over the head with a My Pillow 2.0. Okay.
The women pillow, of America
need to get the men of America to step up. And I don't want to be hearing from friends of a family member that listen to the Pete Santilli show and they're still saying stupid stuff while they're going the other room and game.
Well,
okay.
You know,
the gamer guys.
The other the thing to take notice is though that people are listening and people are paying attention.
They are.
And since Barack Obama became president, back when he became president, he was the greatest gun and ammo salesman in the world. People just started buying guns and ammo. They just did. And I remember that very well. It was off the charts, right? They were reporting and reporting and reporting. Now, I've got to say that Barack Obama was very calm when it came to, when there was mass shootings, and there was a lot when he was president, right? So he was very calm, and he really didn't go after the guns that much or talk that language very often.
You know what?
Seriously, you know what? People around him did.
This is it right here, all right? This is for Barack Obama.
Your Nerf
right?
gun. Ellison, stop that. So, but then
it's a Nerf gun. What do you mean stop that? It's not a flat screen. It's a Nerf gun.
But
what do you mean stop that?
But still, people... Huh? People bought.
Did you know they play something like this in court? I did that with a real gun.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's why I only.
People did that at an unprecedented rate, right? And every year, every time a new president, it doesn't matter whether they are Democrat or Republican, gun sales go up. Yeah. Now, since Joe Biden has been president, guess what has happened? Off the charts, never before seen gun sales. So, my point is this. I think people get the message without actually getting the message. People understand that we are very possibly headed for a really rough time. And it's not about the government per se. It is about your neighbor or people. Listen, when Antifa decided that they were going to announce that they were coming out into the suburbs and they started, remember, in the summer of hate, and they started pushing out into the country, my hometown, 45 miles away from the city, they decided they were going to come out there. And let me tell you, people were like, that's right. You
Guess
come on
what?
Out here.
Guess what? Even our, left-leaning or left-of-center family members, all right, are better off, okay, in our family. They're coming along. They're not going to be left behind. The greatest weapon right now against us, we'll say Deb and I, guess what it is? It's other people to our left and our right and within our circle of family and friends that still have people in their family that are not even, you got men in the families, right? I mean, I'm literally hearing from people, I'm not going to even mention any names. I don't want to single anyone out because there's a number of them that are close to us that we meet in person that are told that their man family member, you know, was encouraged to listen to the Pete Santilli show. And they said the dumbest, unmanly thing you could ever say. I mean, I literally wanted to take a slab of beef and just shove it down that person's throat. Okay. And say, you need to start manning up. I need men right now. Godly men in each and every household prepared. You know why? Because my life is in danger if you don't. But if we have people in our residences that are well in tune, well prepared, stock up with your beans, right? Get your pantries and have enough beans and bullets to guard them with your life, defend your life, liberty, and property. Guess what? We're solid. I want one of us behind every blade of grass. Every blade of grass. All right? Because guess what they did? They've infiltrated us from within. Okay? Mm. We used to carpet bomb communists. Now we vote for them. Okay? And they're in Congress. All of you people out there that are thinking something's going to happen. Oh, you know, do I need to? Oh, I can't call out names. I can't do that.
No,
I can't. There's one person I wish I could call him out. You know, I'm like, oh, hey, come on the show. You guys don't know who it is, so I can say this. Oh, I'm over here. I'm in the gallery at Congress. I'm like, what a freaking putz, okay? You literally could be getting somebody in a zip code, ready to go, well-armed and well-stocked, supplied and well-educated. No, you're in a freaking congressional hearing in front of a bunch of people that are CIA that have hijacked our Congress. Really, you're investing that time to go to Washington, D.C. Thanks. Yeah, there's a good use of your time. Maybe you can talk to Jim Jordan and go on Fox, you know?
I think the message, though, people, actually, Pete, I think people have the message. I told somebody one time, they were like, you know, wow, you know, people with guns, they're gonna be in so much trouble. And I'm like, no, they're not.
No, absolutely not.
Let me tell you something. The American people, including liberals, right? Everybody.
Liberals are getting guns.
Because when you look at the gun sales, there is no way that's just Republicans buying guns.
And the AKs trust me, the AKs are flowing to Antifa.
Sure they are.
MS-13.
You bet they
Black Lives Matter. And it's not, they're not being registered. Trust me. Trust me.
Yep.
Okay. Mayor Beetlejuice has got a bunch of people in Chicago right now that are well-armed, and none of them are registered.
That's right. And they have no idea who they are.
No, those are the people.
All these law-abiding citizens.
Those are the people that are going to come to your house.
They know who you are.
They're going to come to your house and take all of your beans.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The reason why I say beans and bullets is you need the bullets to protect your beans. Because guess what?
Yeah, because Antifa.
I know Kung Fu. I'm coming to get your beans.
They are armed to the hilt. Guess what? Yeah. And their leader, Bill Ayers, is teaching them how to build bombs. I promise you that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be about fireworks. That's foreplay for them, right?
Yeah.
They're just getting buttering you all up.
Look, folks, if things get really bad, let's say you're older, you know, maybe you're fat like me and you look, you know, unsuspecting, like there's no way I could ever be a harm to anybody. And I'll rally a bunch of people and just gather a bunch of people together and say, oh, you know, I need to know. We need to have, you know, we need to know how many of you have guns, right? And like five people say, you know, if there's like 20 there, five people say, I got guns, right? And then two of them are going to say, I ain't saying anything because mine are illegal, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the inner city, right?
Yep.
I live in the inner city. I got to have a gun, right? And then pay particular attention to those people that don't have guns. That's what you do. Take note of it, figure out where they're at, and then go take their stuff. They're a libtard, gunless, all right? Easy pickings. Take care of yourself, all right? The gunless will lose their cans of beans. Oh, it's terrible to say. Oh, yeah? Well, guess what, folks? What did I say? Survival of the fittest. You better have your head screwed on straight, because they're going to come and get, the point is, they're going to figure out who the marks are. That's the other way around. Did you hear what I just said to you? They're thinking the same thing about you. They're going to be asking you, anybody asks you, hey, do you have any guns?
You say no.
What?
Yeah, say no.
Say no. Don't say no. Say, I got 50 cals and C4. You come anywhere near my house. That's what you say. Well, right? Don't be a mark.
Point. I get your point.
Don't be a mark. Don't be a mark.
But anybody asks you about your guns. They want to come and they're going to want to come and get your guns too, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you say you got 50 cals and C4. And anybody comes on your property, they better send bachelors and they better have kissed their tail goodbye. All right. Anybody comes on my property, all these propane tanks blow with C4, all interconnected. I don't need guns. Propane tanks. There you go.
There you go.
So stop by and see me.
Of which we don't have.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, we got
tons of them.
Did I say don't be a mark over in that cubicle there?
Oh, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Deb.
You're welcome.
No problem.
Oh, man.
Why don't you shop for some slippers?
I'm going to because they're on sale.
That's your job. Make my rapini. Go get some slippers. I'll worry about self-defense.
Well, they're on sale. The slippers are on sale. You guys need to get over to mypillow.com/Pete because they are a blowout. I think, what was it, 29 bucks?
Huh?
$29 for the all-season slippers, right?
I think so.
Yep. And I don't have any.
We're waiting on Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden up and running here? Huh? I'm looking at 9/9/15, you know, because Joe Biden had to clean his catheter, okay?
There you go.
He was supposed to be on at 8 a.m.,
well,
by the way.
Well, guess what? You're going to have time.
I am going to have time. We're going to play. Right now, we're going to go to
a break.
No, we're not. We're going to go to.
Yes, we are.
We're not going to a break.
You have to go to a break.
We're not going to a break. It's the Pete Santilli Show. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play one big fat break, all right? Right now. We are. I mean, I need your support,
You'll
folks.
Be sorry.
This message.
You'll be sorry.
I'm not going to be sorry.
He always says, I should have gone. I can't believe I'm skipping.
We're broke anyway. They're going to steal our freaking money, and everybody's going to be like, oh, they got a pizza until they can't.
Yeah, we are broke.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go to Dr. Kirk. Here we go. You ready?
All right.
Everybody stay tuned. We will break in if Mumble Nuts comes on the air. Okay?
Mumble. Huh? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Here we go.
You're listening to Pete Santilli, a voice so powerful, the chimpanzees running the U.S. government said he was broadcasting for the purposes of recruiting gunmen.
That's always a funny opening. We mean no harm. As a matter of fact, we broadcast to inform the public. That's funny. We put that into, believe it or not, our show because way back when I was sounding the alarm about the Obama administration pointing guns at unarmed protesters and because I broadcast that event, they said that the people that came, I recruited them. I was recruiting gunmen. That's not the truth. Sounding the alarm is not a bad thing. And here we are on this Sunday, March 12th of 2023. It's an important day. It's Sunday. The first person that I contacted over the past, I think, couple weeks, we've been talking about this very important time, I believe, in all of human history, regarding our global currencies and the digital side of it. There's a lot of uncertainty, but there's a lot of very strategic, precise moves being made by the other side. We don't know exactly what they are. We can only see it as it unravels. So here we are after this week on a Friday, after the FDIC telegraphed exactly what they were going to do with their banks on a Friday, close a bank, and they use specific language as to how they take over the bank, and it happened with the Silicon Valley Bank on Friday. Now, it's not just a one-off, folks. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, okay? And it's something like that, when a bank crashes, it causes contagion. So here we are into the weekend where institutional investors are allowed to make their moves, protect themselves, and then on Monday, obviously, the desired effect is you regular bank account holders, if your money's gone, that could conceivably happen. You won't know about it until Monday. Well, they know exactly what's happening. Well, here we are on this Sunday to kind of help make sense of what is going on and how we, the people, protect ourselves, because I worked very hard for every dollar I put in my account, Dr. Kirk Elliott. I'm sure you can say the same for you, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, this is why when we were talking yesterday, it's like, Kirk, we got to do a show on this. It's like 100% true. This is the biggest story from an economist's perspective of the year, Pete. And I don't even know what other stories are coming the rest of the year, but this is that big because it's a game-changing moment on how banks are run, how people have access to their money, and what is happening with the FDIC, right? Because so let's take this into perspective. You go into a bank and we have this perception that it's got this big marble edifice, these columns, this amazing building, there's this big vault door, and you open it up and all this cash just falls out of there, right? People think that's what banks are. But you open up, in reality, you open up that bank vault door, there's no cash in there, right? And how do we know that? Well, because you go back to the summer of 2020 during the heights of COVID, what did the Federal Reserve Board of Governors do? They changed the reserve requirement that banks, the amount of money they have to have on hand, to zero.
And if you don't mind,
zero.
We're going to translate, because the whole purpose of this visit is to translate that language that they've hijacked into a language that nobody really understands. Let me translate, if you don't mind, and correct me if I'm wrong. Lowering the reserves to zero means that the banks are not required to have enough cash in the vault to put in the ATM so that if you go to do a withdrawal, they don't have to do that. They can lend all of that money out so that if people go to the bank and they do a withdrawal, or let's say in large numbers, like will happen tomorrow morning, it's going to happen tomorrow morning, people are going to do massive withdrawals. The money is not there and they're not required to keep enough money on hand. They can just say, we're sorry, we're closed. You can't get any cash at all. The reserve requirement is to basically say you can invest, right, and get a return on your investment, but you can't use your entire vault. You can only use a portion of it, correct?
Correct, yeah. So people have a misinterpretation of what banks are. So how many of you watchers out there, when you get that folder after you open up a checking or savings account from the banker, it's like, here's all your paperwork. How many of you read it? Well, nobody does. What does that actually say? The mechanics behind a bank account is you are giving the bank a promissory note for the whatever amount. Let's say you put in $50,000 into your checking and savings account. You're giving the bank $50,000 for them to do what banks do. Banks aren't in business to lend money. They're in business to use your money to invest for themselves. That's the reality. Then you get a statement, right? You get a checking account statement, a savings account statement, and it's a ledger entry that says, hey, Pete, you put 50 grand in your checking account on any given day. This is pretty much what you should kind of have, and hopefully it's there, right? But you've given them a promissory note, so there's really no guarantee that it's going to be there. And what they're hoping is, with a 10% reserve requirement, which is what it used to be, that not more than 10% of all of their deposits are coming out at the same time because they don't have it. Well, now it's zero. Right, it's been zero since the summer of 2020. So what does that mean? Remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? When they go in, it's like, what, there's no money there? It's gone? We can't get it? That causes panic and chaos and mayhem, and because people can't get their assets. But in reality, this is what we've done. When we put our money into a bank, we are giving them a promissory note to use it as they wish, and hopefully we can get it out when we want to. But now, what happened on Friday, it's the second largest bank failure in U.S. history behind Lehman Brothers, right? So let's unpack that a little bit, Pete, because this is important. So if you look, what is the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Commission, right? So you've got, you know, supposedly $250,000 worth of insurance in all of your bank deposits. Anything over that, it's not insured when you put it into a bank. So people think, oh, my checking account's less than $250,000. It's going to be there. It'll be fine, right? Well, let's look at the extreme under allocation of the FDIC. There's $9 trillion of checkings and savings accounts deposits in America. The FDIC has $125 billion. Okay. That means the FDIC only has 1.38% of all deposits insured. That's the real number. Let's look at what happened. Yes, on Friday. Friday, Silicon Valley Bank, which so many people have never even heard of Silicon Valley Bank, but they're huge. So they've got $173 billion in checkings and savings accounts at that bank. Last year alone, they were 44% of all the venture capital funding for tech startups in America. They're a big, big company, right? In fact, Roku, which a lot of you have Roku devices on your TV, they have $469 million worth of cash at Silicon Valley Bank. Or should I say they used to, mm-hmm. right? Because what's the limit? $250,000 is what they're insured for, which means $469 million minus the chump change of $250,000 is no longer there. It's not accounted for. It's gone. So how much of Silicon Valley Bank is uninsured assets, you know, over and above the $250,000 marks? Well, if they have $173 billion mm-hmm. in deposits, $152 billion is uninsured, right. Which means $21 billion is covered by FDIC. In one bank failure that we just saw that went into FDIC That's receivership, right. took one-fifth all of the FDIC amount. I mean, this is catastrophic.
Go with me here, and not such an important thing to talk about here, all right? You have to, folks, you have to listen to them in their own words. I'm going to play a clip here where they strategically just weeks ago said, here's how we're going to do a bank failure so that the public isn't fully aware. Here it is.
Guarantees to allay concerns about excess cash use. There's a lot of questions here. And so, you know, there are a lot of things we've been thinking about, and what we want to hear from you today is what you think would the priorities would be in order to go about setting expectations appropriately in public about how we would execute Title II, so that if and when we do have to have that announcement on Friday night, ideally Friday night, that people are in a position to receive it, understand it, and say, yeah, that works. And we can see how this will happen. Of course, there will be doubters.
Okay. Now, not to dumb it down, but correct me if I'm wrong. What she just said, folks, is the people in the room that are the big money movers, institutional investors, how they convey to the public how they receive title. That means we're going to seize a bank. We're going to close it down on a Friday, and then through the weekend, you guys have back-end access. You can move your money around. And for the financial security of all of the underlings, we'll make those moves on the weekend. We'll alleviate your concerns, and Monday we'll open back up. And then surprise, surprise, there will be a run on the bank. But we're in the back of the line. She just discussed that she would do it on a Friday, allow all of the people in the room inside access to make their moves through the weekend, move their money around, and the public essentially would be left holding the bag. Am I wrong with that?
No, you're 100% right. And this does go back to Dodd-Frank, right? This goes back to when was that bill written, Pete? Like the
2010.
2010, yeah. So 12 years ago. I mean, what did that say? It said, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, the government said, we are seeing this is going to happen again, or else they wouldn't have to write legislation about it. Said, but we're not going to be responsible next time. We're not going to basically bail anything out. Too big to fail? Nope. That doesn't matter. Anything can fail because we're not going to bail them. But they don't want it to fail. They're basically passing the buck from the government bailing out something that's too big to fail to us as taxpayers. So how does a bail-in work? It's like a special use tax. It's the depositors of the bank that would have to bail it out. So we saw this happen in Cyprus and Greece. Remember decade plus ago when Cyprus and Greece went through it, and basically there was a 10% bail special provision bail-in tax. See, if you think about it, Pete, when we pay taxes, technically they're voluntary, right? Because yeah, if we don't pay them, we go to jail or whatever, but we actually have to pay the IRS our taxes. In a bail-in tax, It's not up to you. They just take it out. So if they say we're doing a 10% bail-in tax to help, you know, bail out these the country and basically make it monetarily stable again, well, if you had 100 grand in the bank, it's 90,000 the next day because it, you don't have a choice whether you pay it or not. It's just outright theft. They just take it out. That's the difference between taxes and a bail-in, and it's the difference between a bail-in and a bailout. Bailout is the government taking care of it. Bail-in is we, as taxpayers, are funding all of that without our choice.
Right. Now, another element that's really important for just the average person to understand, let's say, you know, I'm going to say a paycheck-to-paycheck person. I work really hard for that person. They can't afford to have $2,000 missing from their account because they got $2,000 coming in, $2,000 going out. They're living paycheck-to-paycheck. You're just as vulnerable. You could literally have your $2,000 wiped out. So how does that happen? And what is the justification behind them saying, we're going to do a bail-in? Dodd-Frank happened. It took, remember the $800 billion thing that Paulson had to run around? There was the TARP lending mechanisms. They had $800 billion bailout that had to go to stop the contagion. Because the bank, if all of a sudden everyone gets wind that they're insolvent, they go withdraw their money, well, they have obligations. They've got other investments. They have other people. So we're not talking about SVB as the bank that has $150 billion now missing, $200 billion in assets. They have all that money leveraged with other loans downstream. Yeah. The cascading effect of a bank that loses that much money. Now, remember, $800 billion was the first bailout in 2008 to wipe out global contagion. We're talking about a bank right now that has 25%, upwards of 30%, just as one bank. That could conceivably make the Bear Stearns Lehman thing in 2008 look like a walk in the park as to the contagion, correct? Can you explain that in layman's terms, what that contagion means? And this is where they're making moves through the weekend, and all these other banks are saying, oh my goodness, they're not going to be able to make their interest payment to me. Well, we're not going to make our interest payment to others. And next thing you know, you've got way more than $150 billion at stake, don't you?
Well, it's massive. And see, perception is reality, right? When people perceive that, wow, this big bank has $173 billion in assets, went under, what about my community bank? What about my little bank? What about my account at JP Morgan Chase or Bank of America or Signature Bank or any of these other banks, right? Well, you're going to see on Monday, we'll see how much money banks actually have, right? Because I think when people hear about this over the weekend, it's human nature. I would do it, right? I would go into the bank and say, I don't think my money is safe there. I'm going to pull it out and try to put it into some different banks. I'm going to spread it around a little bit, or I'm just going to flat out take it out. Well, if the reserve requirement's at zero, it might not be there, especially when you're starting to see videos of people in Brentwood, you know, California, you know, going lined up for blocks just yesterday already, wanting to get their money out of the bank. This is going to spread like wildfire. But here's the other spread. What did Silicon Valley Bank do? 44% of all venture capital to new tech startups last year alone. There's tons of companies now that have their money tied up, Roku being one of them, $469 million of their cash at their, how are they going to make payroll?
Did you hear if about Coinbase? If they're
shut down, how are they going to make payroll? Not making payroll is a criminal offense, right? So who's gonna take the blame for that one? And how are these people going to get paid if the accounts of the payroll company is not there? I mean, this is the contagion.
Yeah, and Coinbase, I mean, for those that are transacting cryptocurrencies through Coinbase, they had to, I understand, they announced one of these cryptocurrency transaction companies had $3 billion in that bank to move money around, and it's locked up all of a sudden. So here's the next thing. When the lady that we just heard, when she spoke in very sophisticated language for the benefit of the people in the room, is what do we say to the public? Because one little known thing, and nobody can be harmed by this. If you get word right now, this is why we're doing it on Sunday. If you get word right now that you could lose all of your money and you go and just park it somewhere, you're not going to be harmed personally. But on the other side, in that meeting, they were saying, well, let's not let them know. We have to protect the people here in the room that have billions of dollars at stake. So for the benefit of all the lowly, you know, small balance holders, we're going to save you guys for their benefit. So they're lording over us, and you will be the one that will lose your money. But you can't be harmed by moving your money. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. That's exactly what they're saying. They're putting it into a pecking order of their billionaire buddies are at the top of the list. We'll let them get out of this escape room, you know, before anybody else shows up, right? I mean, this is what they're saying. And that kind of language should infuriate every single person who's watching this, thinking, wait a second, my money is just as valuable as everybody else's. In fact, a lot of those billionaires and whatever else, right, they've got money all over the place. This is 100% of the money that I have is in this bank. I only have $17,000 in my checking account, in my savings account, right? And to think that, oh yeah, FDIC is going to cover it, maybe this time they will, up to $250,000. But what about, we just talked about how this one bank failure took away 25% of it. What about Silvergate that closed their doors on Friday, which is one of the largest cryptocurrency banks in the country? What about Signature Bank, another huge, large crypto bank that lost 32%? What about the big four, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Citibank, you know, those guys, the big four lost $55 billion on Friday alone. What comes next, Pete? What comes next? And when does FDIC go insolvent? Because we just saw one-fifth of it go away in one bank.
I have a question for you. The perception is that every single depositor is somebody that has money in the bank is insured for up to $250,000. After Dodd-Frank with the bail-in mechanism, so if your money is insured, I'm saying that the FDIC insurance bucket, okay, is finite. They only have so much money to cover the insurance policy. And when you say insolvency, that means that we now have $250,000 that we need to pay out. Well, what about the bail-in mechanism? If they recover those funds, you're insured. If all of those funds are recovered in that exceeds what the FDIC has access to, then what? Then what's it called? Uninsured deposits at that point? I mean,
uninsured deposits in Silicon Valley Bank alone, $153 billion of the $173 billion is uninsured deposits.
How much does the FDIC have?
$125 billion.
I say touchdown, my point. They have $125 billion to cover.
And the bank just went $9 trillion in checking and savings accounts in this country alone.
Yeah. I mean, $125 billion to cover, and they just lost $150 billion. The remaining balance
that's
of that is
1.38%, Pete. That's all that they have to cover. Yeah. So the whole thing of $250,000 coverage is a facade.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Right. And it's excuse the expression, it's a con game. It's a confidence mechanism to tell you that your money is insured, when in fact we just heard in her own words that we're going to basically keep you in the dark through the weekend when we seize the bank through the weekend, allow the big money movers to make their moves, and then on Monday let's just find out what happens. So, sir, let's transition here in our conversation. I believe in informing the public to translate all of this language. What does it mean to me if I've got $10,000 in the bank? You're not going to be harmed by moving that money as an individual. I'm not calling for a bank run. I'm calling for, oh my goodness, your $10,000 is at risk. I want you to protect it. Now let's go to the next thing. These digital currencies that are coming about, there's like 20 states. Kristi Noem just stopped some legislation where they're going to this digital currency. We're getting so far away from sound money. Constitutionally right now, the law in our U.S. Constitution requires that real money is in gold and silver, period. There's no digital nothing. There's no executive orders, no nothing. If you want that to be different, you have to amend the Constitution. Can you speak to that? Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's 100% true. And so it's not just states that are starting to buck this trend against central bank digital currencies. Last week, Hong Kong told China, it's like, we're not going to accept your digital yuan. We're not going to accept it as a legitimate currency, right? But we will have central bank digital currency in this country, Pete. 90% of all the central banks around the world are doing it. And to me, it's not going to fix a system. It's a digital version of fiat-based money creation. But with digital version, they have complete transparency of all transactions. They know what you buy. They know if you go to the ammo store. They know what kind of food you buy. They know when you go to Taco Bell. They know what political party you're part of. They know what church you donate to, right? They know everything. And if your digital social profile doesn't add up to the narrative that they want with these globalist institutions, in their own words, Dr. Pippa Malmgren at the World Government Forum said, it's programmable money.
We're going to go to the top of the hour break. We're still waiting for Mumble Nuts to come to the podium. Just stay right there. Don't go away. Next hour is going to be extremely, extremely intense. Don't go away.